In just a few years, Washington will need another 1,000 prison beds. There's been talk of building a new state lockup, but that would cost hundreds of millions of dollars at a time when the Supreme Court has said school funding must be the priority. So what's the solution? Washington could release some older inmates who are serving long sentences, but lawmakers are wary of the political backlash and the state abolished parole in the 1980s. That leaves clemency as the remaining pressure relief valve on the prison system. But as Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins reports, that system of mercy may not be up to the task.
Amanda Lee is a former member of the Washington State Clemency and Pardons Board. She sits at her dining room table in Seattle and recalls her time on the board.
It was eye-opening.
Lee says it's no easy task to recommend mercy for a prison inmate, and she's a criminal defense attorney by trade.
This isn't like an innocence project thing. It's the exact opposite. You know, someone who's not innocent, but maybe the time has come to look at whether early release is appropriate.
Now, the board can only recommend. It's the governor and the governor alone who holds the power to grant mercy. The board currently receives 60 to 100 petitions a year. Many are from past inmates requesting a pardon for their crime. Many of the others are from current inmates who want to be let out early. The term is commutation. Typically, about a quarter of the petitions are granted a formal hearing.
The way we're going to proceed this morning is we will hear from the petitioners. Then
Jennifer Rancourt is the current chair of the Clemency Board. Four times a year, the board meets on Washington's Capitol campus. Rancourt says the volume of petitions is manageable for now, but she worries about the future.
I mean, it is a five-person volunteer board. You know, most of us have full-time jobs outside of this, and we, you know, put as much time and thought as we can into this process. But at some point, I do think that it's going to become overwhelming.
That's because Rancourt has seen the stats. The number of Washington inmates over age 55 nearly doubled in the last decade. She anticipates that more and more of them are going to want their sentences reviewed. But Rancourt isn't sure the Clemency Board is up to the task.
I think that as it's currently structured, it's going to be very difficult to deal with that volume.
Washington's Clemency and Pardons Board was created 30 years ago. That's when the state did away with parole and transitioned to determinant or fixed sentencing. Later, Washington adopted mandatory minimum sentences like three strikes you're out and hard time for armed crime. All of this has put pressure on the system, and clemency is the primary relief valve. Take the case of Stoney Rivers. He petitioned for clemency back in 2011.
This call will be recorded and monitored.
Rivers recently called me from prison.
I'm at Cedar Creek Correction Center.
Rivers has an amazing and depressing story to tell. It turns out he and his brother and his half-brother and his stepfather were all sentenced to life without parole under Washington's three strikes you're out law. Records show their crimes were mostly street-level felonies.
We did wrong. We were young. We were rambunctious. We were committing robbery and theft and assault.
Today, Rivers is 47 years old, and soon he'll be leaving prison. That's because he's one of the lucky 13. That's the number of Washington prison inmates who've been granted clemency in the past decade. During that same time, more than 50 inmates were denied. Several of those petitions crossed the desk of an attorney named Richard Mitchell. He was general counsel to former Governor Chris Gregoire and advised her on matters of clemency. Since then, Mitchell's represented petitioners going before the board. Having seen the system from the inside and out, he believes Washington's clemency process needs an overhaul. He stops short of calling it broken.
That's a strong, strong word, and I'm reluctant to say broken. But I'm not reluctant to say that it does need reform.
One of Mitchell's chief concerns is the test for clemency. The law says the inmate must demonstrate extraordinary circumstances. But what does that mean? It's never been defined. Mitchell also believes the clemency board should function more like a judicial body. And he wants inmates to have some legal help in crafting their case for mercy. He recalls when he worked for Governor Gregoire seeing handwritten jailhouse petitions.
It was clear to me the petitioner had a case to present, but was not presenting it in a way that was very persuasive.
Mitchell says the opaqueness surrounding clemency doesn't just disadvantage the offenders. He believes it hurts crime victims and their families, too. For them, clemency hearings can serve as a recurring nightmare. Take the case of Barry Massey, a case Mitchell has worked on. Massey was 14 when he became the youngest juvenile sentenced to life without parole in the nation. In 2010, he came before the Clemency Board for the second time in 4 years. The widow of Massey's victim, Shirley Wong, begged the board not to release her husband's killer.
Why should this murderer be given the chance to have something that he took away from me and my two children?
Massey later withdrew his petition for clemency. He's now likely to be released under a new state law that gives juvenile killers an automatic review after 25 years behind bars. Washington lawmakers have considered whether to grant automatic review to other categories of long-serving Washington inmates, but those ideas haven't gone anywhere. At this point, there are no proposals to beef up the clemency board, although the governor's office is revising the guidelines for clemency so that both petitioners and victims have a better understanding of how the process works and what the board is looking for. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.